Jesus had risen to the point where that mistake wasn't made. We have not risen to that point. Now, when you catch your reactions, you see that you are always under the assumption that there is something beside God. Somebody is sick, and you're caught unawares, you think there's someone there beside God. Somebody has a crisis of another kind, and you think there's somebody there beside God. Something in your business is failing, and you think there's something there beside God. Every imperfection in the world is the belief that there is something beside God. But there isn't. And if you live in the outer universe, everything in the outer universe is something beside God. So the hypnotism in the outer is almost complete. While you're living in the inner, you are being strengthened from within by the Christ which can only see God. So that instead of looking with human eyes and trying to believe that there's only God, you are changing your vision to Christ's vision. You are changing your mind to Christ's mind. You are changing your body to Christ's body. You are changing your life to Christ's life. So that in the transformation of mind and form and activity and law, you are coming under the Christ consciousness, which is conscious only of God. And the creation of God, which are the idea forms and the invisible manifestation. You are not trying to be conscious of God with a human mind, because that would be impossible. That is why we are going through the transformation of the mind, because only the Christ mind is aware of the Christ universe. Like begets like. A human mind begets a human universe. And for this reason, we are going through the slow transformation of mind, which in turn makes the transformation of body and the transformation of activity. And this slow transmutation leads us to the single eye, the Christ eye, which can look out and behold the universe of God as it is on earth, instead of as we have seen it through the finite five-sense intellect. You will probably recognize a certain place where this way became easier for you. And at that place where it became easier, the adventure really began. Because up to that point, you were busy absorbing ideas and principles, trying to live by them. It was like reading recipe books, but never really getting down to baking the pie or cooking the roast. And now you were starting to function in those principles. And then the principles proved themselves, or at least gave you an insight to a complete new universe. A universe which was not suspected by your fellow men. Joel has said that within the last thousands of years, the amount of truth that has been revealed to man is but a thimble compared to the truth that will be revealed to you in your spiritual awareness. He has called this the undiscovered land of consciousness, not known and not revealed by the world of religion, science, or philosophy. An undiscovered land more vast then the whole human world and all of the unknown universe is still to be discovered. A vastness greater than the depth of the ocean, greater than the circumference of the microcosm and the macrocosm combined. And yet, all of this is the kingdom of God within you. An infinite kingdom, which is the full embodiment of every individual. It isn't divided up so that part of the infinite kingdom is in one and part in another and part in another. But the full, complete, infinite kingdom is in each one. That's the miracle of infinity. And so we become more and more self-complete in our awareness until, in the full realization of identity, we can pronounce within ourselves that we are self-complete. We live in self-completeness. We are independent of every man. We depend on no person, no condition, no thing. We are not under human law. We do not look to any individual for our support. We do not reject the channels through which these things come. But we recognize the source as a source which cannot be disputed or denied. An invisible source which comes, if necessary, through a rock, through steel, through a door. But spirit becomes the living source of our being and the substance of it. And we know that as long as we have accepted this spiritual identity, our self-completeness is God itself. And this is the Christ consciousness. The self-completeness in Christ, in spirit, in identity, in reality. And then we are moving in our inner universe. Until someday you will say, I am the inner universe. I am the bread. My spirit is the wine and the water. My spirit is the substance and the intelligence that permeates that substance. Certainly God knows what God wants and what God needs. Certainly God can fulfill God. Isn't spirit and God one and the same? Am I not that spirit? You see, we're cementing this certainty within ourselves day by day now. And really, we have begun to erase the parenthesis more than we may realize. The fear of an ending is probably gone in most of us. It may be there hanging by a thread still, but that will go. The fear of lack, of limitation, of public opinion, the various fears that anchor us to this earth, these slowly dissolve because every one of them is revealed to you as a lie about yourself. You have dissolved the external sense of a universe, and you're no longer living, as Joel calls it, on the fringe of life, just tiptoeing about on the surface. You're living in the fullness of it. Now, when you reach the point then that God is no stranger to you, and God is not some external God out there, but God is your substance on earth, then you are receiving that which is the purpose of all spiritual teaching. And that's another note I made to read to you, because it's not in this chapter. But it's in this book. You may have forgotten it. And it's one of the purposes of the spiritual life. Here it is. Every aspirant on the spiritual path should be constantly alert for some original revelation of truth. Joel wanted us to know that we just don't sit down and memorize his book. We don't try to live off of borrowed matter or off of somebody else's consciousness, because we'll fall through the water that way. Original revelation of truth. If he is content, however, to dwell merely on words without drawing forth the deeper and the richer meanings of which the words are but the symbol, he is not being fed from within, but from the pages of a book. Black ink does not taste good, nor is there any sustenance to be found on the printed page. And those persons who are living on the printed word alone are going to be just as hungry as those who suffer from malnutrition. The sustaining substance to be found in words, printed or voiced, lies in the truth that can be drawn into consciousness. Now he's trying to cut you loose into your own. He's doing what Jesus did. If I go not away, the Comforter cannot come unto you. He's saying, I have taken you this far, but the promised land is an individual experience. Why, you can't even take your friends and relatives with you. You can't take your dearest loved one with you. The kingdom of God within you must be your individual experience. No one can take it for you, and you cannot take it for anyone else. Each must go into God alone. I don't know how many of us have tried to do it by relying on someone else, but this you must know, it cannot be done. When Peter tried to rely on Jesus, it didn't work. And the disciples all discovered that they couldn't ride into heaven on the consciousness of Jesus. No matter how high you are, you cannot take anyone into the kingdom of God. This is an individual realization. We must all make the effort on our own. We only share on the way. But we cannot go in as a tandem team. Now then, we've had some 30-odd chapters, all of it leading to a knowledge that nowhere on this earth can you go and find God in the visible. Nowhere on this earth can you go to find someone who can take you into the kingdom of heaven. No church, no government, no philosophy, no teaching can take you into the kingdom of heaven. No person on this earth. The kingdom of heaven already is established as the center of your own being. It is not something where you are taken into it, but rather where you realize the presence of God is where you stand, and I am that presence. as you are making this inner declaration, the world is telling you you're a liar. The world is mesmerizing you that instant and instilling you with every doubt in the book. There is not a second of your human life that is free of mesmerism except that second in which you are touching the spirit. You might say the proportion is 9 billion to 1. And by great effort, you'll make it 9 billion to 2, and then to 3, and then to 4. And you are the one to make the effort. Now, as you do it, and I do it, as we leaven the light of the world that way, those who follow behind us are going to find that the odds against them are lessened. There is less world mesmerism for them to combat. They may be very proud of themselves and think that they're more capable than we were, but that's fine. That's a sign that we've done our work well. But our function here is to glorify God. And so we cannot glorify me if we are to glorify God. As we serve the spirit within, we do not serve the human me. We do not seek success. We do not seek fame. We do not seek reward. We do not seek compensation. These are the false lures of the visible world. We do not need them. We believe we do. We seek instead the kingdom of God. And as ye seek first the kingdom of God within you, all of the so-called false lures which made you spend your time, energy, and thought pursuing them are revealed to you as non-real, non-substantial. And so you're overcoming the illusion of material form in the realization that spiritual form is already established as your substance, and it is self-complete. It will appear as material form when needed. Now you're going to have places where you are tempted to heal, tempted to repair, tempted to remove, tempted to react, tempted to manipulate. And all of these are the signs of the unchristed consciousness. The moment you find some thing or some person or some condition that must be improved and that demands your attention to make that improvement, you have found a separate life apart from God. You say, what shall I do? Endure the problem? No, do not endure the problem, but recognize that God is all. There is no God and anything. There is no God and a problem. And so your problem is nothing but your own hypnotized, externalized. Your own hypnotism externalized is your problem. But it's my foot. I can't walk to get to the office. There is no God and anything. There is no God and a material condition. God is unconditioned. There is no God and a visible anything. There is no God and a tangible anything. There is only God. Then what is your solution when you have a visible, tangible problem? Your solution is to know that there is only God. For in your acceptance that there is only God, you are resting in the Word. And as you abide, the power of the Word will quicken your being and lift you above the illusion of that which you had thought to be your problem. That which you have acknowledged as God and God alone becomes the power that reveals the truth of your acknowledgement. And certainly there cannot be God and a problem coexisting. All error, all disease, all death, all lack, all limitation, all pain, all suffering, all of this world is the end, which has no existence, because only God is. Who convinceth you of sin? Who convinceth you of a problem if you know that God alone is? Now, when the problem occurs, then, it is but a mental image. It is occurring in a false consciousness. And that false consciousness is externalizing its belief and labeling it a tangible external problem. You're saying there's a problem out here, which is saying God isn't out here. But God is out here. And out here and out there. You're not seeing God. You're not experiencing God. You're experiencing the absence of God. And that's your only problem. And you cannot experience the presence of God with that consciousness, which is the false human. So you must drop the consciousness by resting in the realization that God is the substance of my being. The kingdom of God is within me, now, here, in fullness. I am self-complete in God. And so we are becoming God-anchored. We're gulping down our reactions. We're gulping down what we see and hear and feel and touch and know is there so sure. And we're saying, no, it can't be. There was one who showed it can't be. There was a demonstration that it can't be. There was a demonstration that a physical body can't be. There was a demonstration that death cannot be. And there was a demonstration that when there is that consciousness which knows that only God is, then the parenthesis is erased. Then we no longer live within the margins of birth and death. Then through the higher vision, we are ready for the transition out of the parenthesis into the circle of eternity. As we look now at the outer universe, We ought to become conscious that there is an invisible inner universe which is right there. It is always there. It is God. And the outer universe represents our mental concept, our imagination. Between this inner universe and this outer universe is one universal false mind. And it is forming the concept of the inner and translating it into an appearance called the outer. And that universal mind between the inner and the outer, that universal false mirror, individualizes itself as the multiple minds of the men and women of this world. Each individual so-called mind is nothing more than this universal counterfeit mind in between the inner and the outer. And we're looking at its television program and seeing what it puts there with its own mind. And this is the Antichrist. It is actually walking up to you and telling you you're not the Christ. You're just an old mere human being born to die. And alerted to the truth, you can stand right where this human mind is saying that and saying, I not only don't believe that I'm not the Christ, I don't even believe that you're a mind. This whole visible world is an image and a counterfeit mirror to me, and I'm going to enjoy it. I'll eat all the ice cream cones they have. I'll see all the movies and great shows. I'll hear all the music. I look at the glories of nature. I'll enjoy all there is to enjoy, but it doesn't fool me one minute. There's only God. And God's not a motion picture. And God's not an ice cream cone. And God's not a big dinner. And God's not a trip to the ocean side. God is none of these things. These are the moving images through which we prove the invisible presence of God and God alone. Until the moving images have no power over us, but we take dominion over them. I don't know what we've missed. Certainly, the only important thing for us is that measure of consciousness that we have developed during this series. And from the nature of the classes we've had, there's one thing that has been paramount with me, and that is, he perfecteth that which I am appointed to do. I've noticed that as we have gone through this series, there was an ordainment involved here in which the series was to be done, and it was an appointment. And I can truthfully tell you that very little of it was done by me. And wherever any of it was done by me, that was just through lack of spiritual consciousness. Basically, this series did not come to you from a person. It was performed by that which was ordained, that which gave the ordination to do it. And this is what we have felt. This is why I think we have found in this series a measure of enlightenment which will stay with us. Now we are to move forward and let this enlightenment become our living self. we could not end this series without realizing that we have been gifted by the consciousness of Joel beyond measure, that the words that came through him, the understandings, and the human sacrifices he made to attain the awareness that took him out of humanhood, all of this was part of this book. We have been blessed by an association with a consciousness that behind the veil of this human world is loving each of us right now, lighting our way, performing that which we are appointed to do. And the yoke of that consciousness is easy. We are all held very tightly in the embrace of the living Christ. And our further purpose on this earth will be revealed within each of us as we continue. Within each of us will be revealed that which we are further appointed to do, all made possible because there were those who went before us who were true to their calling, so that we might do likewise. To all of you, my sincere thanks. It has been a very special experience. No God, and so when we say good night, it is spirit acknowledging spirit, for there is no other self. That is why we will end appropriately with two words.